everyone, and welcome back to Channel 9. My name is Pelle Valeux. I work in the research and software engineering, and I'm today with Jeffrey Van Gogh.
Hello.
From the System Reactive team. So today we're going to talk about how Jeffrey has been using PEX to test the observable stuff.
Sure.
And we're going to actually show you a test case and,
yep.
and have some fun testing that. So. What are we going to talk about today?
Okay, so earlier this week I posted on Channel 9 videos about ZIP using ZIP in observables. Let's talk a bit about ZIP in enumerable this case. .NET 4.0 ships with ZIP. We backported it to 3.5 and to Silverlight. So let's take a look how ZIP works and how we test it with PEX.
So I'm not familiar with ZIP, so why don't you, and I didn't see your video, so why don't you go ahead and just explain what ZIP does?
Sure, no problem. So. I'm going to draw it with the marble diagrams because you guys are familiar with that now. They're a bit different with enumerable than with observable, but I think they'll still be useful. So there's with ZIP, you have two enumerables, E1 and E2, and we're going to ZIP them. So E1.zip E2 with some function. So imagine that E1 has blue squares as values, and of course now there's no time involved, even though I draw them apart. There, and E2 has red triangles. Now what ZIP does, it moves next on both enumerables, and then once both return, it will take the values that go from both, call the function f, and project them to the ZIP enumerable. So let's draw that here with like a red circle, and then it does it for each value. F, red circle, and here as well. There. So it does that for each value that comes in. It's easy to wait for two enumerables to have values with ZIP and merge them together.
Right. So let me get my tester hat and tweak a little
sure.
bit the drawing.
Satisfied?
So let's see. What if we have streams that don't have the same size, right? And then also, I guess this value is basically a square and then a triangle, really.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But how do I make sure this really happens? Maybe I end up with two of those boxes.
Right. Sure.
So do you deal with that in your ZIP implementation? And how do we translate that into tests?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of things that can go wrong, of course. Like, yes, like ZIP should stop once one of the two enumerables says move next false. So that's a test case you want to take care of. What if there's no value anymore? Like move next just holds. What happens then? Like it holds for it pauses forever. It doesn't yield return. Like there's a thread sleep minus one in the move next implementation. F could do something crazy. There's a whole bunch of things that could go wrong here.
So a whole bunch of test cases to write.
Yes.
And so Jeffrey, you went ahead and you wrote a parameterized unit test for ZIP that
yes.
we're going to take a look at.
Definitely.
And it's basically using PEX to generate inputs
yep.
over the implementation. So let's jump into Visual Studio and take a look at that test.
Sounds good.
Okay, so here we're looking at the ZIP test case in PEX. So of course, it's a PEX method. And the test case is parameterized over the two enumerables that we're passing in. And in this test case, we're not testing the function, the aggregator function that we're passing in. So that's not as an input here. So we create an enumerable from the first and the second enumerable using ZIP, and then we pass a function that will take both values from both enumerables because we want to check that those come in correctly. So that's our ZIP function. So what we do then is we want to compare if the results that are coming in the ZIP are correctly compared to the two source enumerables. So we walk through both the source enumerables and the ZIP enumerable at the same time. And as there's no for each operation that does that, we have to work on the bare enumerable implementations. So we get to call get enumerator and move next current. So
you'd want to use zip, of course.
Of course, but I mean that's a bootstrapping problem, right? So what we do is we get all the three enumerators. You'll notice that we only have a using statement around the zip enumerator. That's because arrays they don't implement idisposable on the enumerators. The other ones do. So we only use using there. And then what we do is we check if that in these hold that zip stops enumerating as the first enumerator input stops enumerating. So zip is only as long as the shortest enumerator of its input. So we enumerate over both source inputs until one of them stops enumerating. We create a counter to see how many times you enumerate over it. And then make sure that as long as we can enumerate over both sources, that we can enumerate over the zip enumerator. Then we get the value out of that move next operation, and we compare that the left and right are equal to the input streams values. And then what you see here is the pegs assume are not equal E1 current, E2 current. The reason we put that in is to make sure that the values from the two streams are different from the input streams, so that we know for sure that the value that came out was indeed from the left or right input stream, and it cannot be confused there.
So otherwise, what would happen?
Well, imagine that zip implementation was wrong, and it would give both left and right the values from the left enumerable. You wouldn't find that issue because both test cases, both input streams would give the same values. So by assuming that they're not equal, we know for sure that the value came either from left or right.
So PEGs would definitely find it, but the generated test suite would just wouldn't see that. That's a problem with test suite that don't evolve with your product.
Mm-hmm.
Their
yes
coverage goes down.
Yep. So after like the one of the both input streams are done, we make sure that the zip enumerable is also done. So we assert is false on the move next. So once either of the source inputs is drained, then we shouldn't be able to get more stuff from the zip enumerable. And then finally, we check that the amount of values that we went through from the zip enumerable is exactly the same as the shortest of the input streams. So we do the math min of that. So that's the test case. Let's try running it.
So when you say, so how do I run this test case? It has parameters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, well, who's going to provide those parameters?
Well,
it's even generic.
Yes. Well, that's what PEGs does for us. So PEGs will run this code in under the profiler, and then it will see what arguments this test takes, and what branches are in the test code, and what branches are in the implementation of the zip operator. And from that, it will use a mathematical solver to figure out what values to provide to the test case to create the most test coverage.
That's a pretty good description.
All right, thank you. Okay, so let's run it. Great, so we get five different test cases generated from this specific.
So we can see a table on the lower left that shows one row per generated test case.
Exactly, and so what we see is first tries to pass in two empty enumerables, and that test succeeded, and then it passed in an enumerable that had one value and one that had no values, and that succeeded. Then it had passed and they both had one value, but different, of course, because we specified that the value of each stream had to be different, so it passed. The first gives one, and the second gives zero. And then the fourth is like one and zero and zero. And then it stops generating tests. So you say, oh, this is very little test, but it means that PEGs has already proven that this is the maximum amount of test cases it could generate to create the maximum amount of coverage it could get to, for this implementation. So
it's very important to get that. You don't need to pass 1,000 elements mm-hmm. to test it. You need to unfold the loop.
Only a couple times.
Only a couple times.
And it got the most important test cases, the empty test case, cases where the inputs are a different length. And also what is interesting here is that it chose integer as the type, even though we we just left it up to PEX to just pass in a T and a U. The reason I'm fine with integer is because generics, like for all reference types, it's pretty simple. For it gets more complicated with value types, and it chose a value type here, so I'm happy about that.
PEX loves integers, especially Z3 loves integers.
Yep. So so the reason I'm not worried about more test cases is because if the developer who owns the implementation of ZIP changes it, PEX will catch the changes and it will try to generate coverage at the moment that the change occurs.
So let's talk about that. So right now, PEX generated test cases that are basically sitting in a file as unit, yeah, as classic unit tests,
yeah,
in a solution.
I can quickly go there. So let me say go to. So you see here that it generated a test that like indeed creates like these integers and passes them in.
And now you're saying that in the future, PEX will find new bugs.
Yes.
So the question is, what do you do with your with those tests? How do you use PEX in your build?
So in our build, so we do run our tests on every check-in, but we don't check in these generated tests. We only check in the handwritten PEX methods. And then in our test check-in system, we do run PEX again. So every check-in, we run PEX and let it generate the test again. So that means that if the developer changed the code of ZIP, PEX will find that there's new branches to be covered. And it will try to run those. And if there's any unexpected behavior in that, PEX will automatically fill and our check-in will fill.
So you get a test suite that is pretty dynamic and adapts to whatever the code is changing.
Exactly.
So that's way better than what we have today with static test suites.
Yes. Yeah. If the developer decides that this test case is no longer valid, like in traditional systems, like the tester has to go in, remove the test code or modify the test code. So in our system, as long as the constraints that we set to ZIP as we've written in the PEX method hold, the developer is free to change the implementation and the new test will be generated automatically.
Sweet.
So the PEX method is really the contract of the ZIP method.